One of the most important positions on the football field is totally up for grabs this spring.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, aka Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. Happy Wednesday morning. We're live. We're ready to have some fun. Welcome everybody in the chat, everybody listening at home, watching at home. Let's have some fun. Auburn desperately needs urgently someone to emerge at edge. We're going to talk about that position group as a whole as you go into the spring. Who is going to be the guy that steps up? Who is going to be the young guy that steps up and makes some plays? And also, we're going to talk about our SEC tournament game one today versus Mississippi State. Before we do that, let's give a quick shout out to Ford Stokes with Active Wealth Management. Call Ford today. Get your complimentary portfolio analysis, Social Security maximization report, and a financial plan all the way to your 95th birthday. If you're going to plan for retirement, you kind of have to do it before you retire. So give Ford a shout. Give your money to an Auburn guy. Do business with Auburn people. Ford Stokes is your guy there. Let's jump into it. Look, of all the position groups, when you're looking across the board on offense and defense, there's not many you can point to that are more important than pass rush. Man, a good pass rush changes everything. A good pass rush makes your defensive backs better. A good pass rush makes your linebackers better. It makes everybody better. Last year, Auburn did a really good job of affecting the passer. Had to do it from a lot of different angles, but Kieron Crawford emerged. You brought Xavier Atkins a lot on blitzes. He actually led the team in sacks. And then you had help from Falk and some others. But all in all, I felt like we affected the quarterback a lot this year. And when you can look at different position groups across the board, there may not be one with more of a unproven pathway to a difference maker than pass rush, than edge. And what do I mean by that? Like, we talked about safeties a couple of days ago. You have some proven production there. Caleb Harris has had some proven production. Eric Winters has had some proven production, and so on and so forth. You get to this edge room, and it's built a ton on potential. And it's good potential. They got all the measurables. They've got some things that you can cling to project them into being good players. But I just feel like everything is going to be about potential and who takes that next step. Okay, so let's start right at the top, and that's Jared Smith. I know we like to talk about Jared Smith from, you know, the times that he flashed last year, and he did. There were a couple of games, Ball State, South Alabama, where he was able to get in the game, and what very little opportunities he was given, he really affected those games. I think he had two sacks for the year. He had a sack in both of those games, a forced fumble. But other than that, he really didn't play that much. I mean, if we're just being honest. He played 25 snaps against Texas A&M. Didn't really register much statistics there. Played 15 snaps against Oklahoma. Played 21 snaps against Mercer. 12 snaps against Georgia. Just that, and that's pretty much it. He played 110 total snaps, and all of them were in a pass rushing, for the most part, situation. Out on the edge, spread wide. So love the measurables. Okay, love everything about, you know, I love everything about 6'6", 260. You know, I love everything about his burst. I love everything about his length. But it's going to be about, can you take that step up? Can you take that step forward? He's sort of like the franchise guy that they invested in, that they're going to build around, that they're going to pump a lot of resources into because they believe he's going to be that next guy. So, Jared Smith right there at the top. And then, to me, the wild card of all this thing You said he had a tackle for loss against Oklahoma. Okay. Yeah, I do see that. Yeah, he did have a tackle for loss against Oklahoma. So there you go. That's a pretty good play in an SEC road environment. So there's some things there. There's just not a ton to point to as far as production. The wild card to me is Deshaun Womack. And I don't want to be negative here. Okay, I don't want to be too negative here, but he has somewhat of a Keyshawn Hall vibe to me. Maybe not to that level, but you're talking about a guy that is super highly recruited, super highly rated, has been sort of a journeyman, gone to a lot of places, and has never really been that number one guy. He has a Keyshawn Hall vibe, but he doesn't have the Keyshawn Hall production. This is it, though. This is the last year for him to make some noise. Last year, he played at Ole Miss. He originally signed with LSU. He had how many sacks last year? He had 2 sacks last year, 1 forced fumble, 27 total tackles, 14 solos. So played in just about every game. But again, he was not your number one guy. Played 200. He played quite a bit more than Jared Smith. 261 total snaps. You need the 5-star to come out. You need the 5-star to emerge from Deshaun Womack. Again, if he could live up to that potential, if he could live up to that billing, that to me changes the whole outlook in this room. If you can have a 1-2 punch there with Jared Smith and Deshaun Womack, just trying to be a little bit closer to, you know, the high 4-5-star guy, you could have a really good 1-2 punch there. And then again, I mean, great size. Great size. I mean, he's what? 6'5", 265. So essentially a clone of Jared Smith. Good length, good everything there. Cheese, great line. Need him to be who he says he is. Love it. The give tip of the cap to Cheese there. Be who you say you are is the theme. If Deshaun Womack takes that to heart, you may have something cooking there. So good stuff there. And then obviously you got your guy, Nate Johnson. Nate Johnson is one that's very, very peculiar to me because he was really, really good at App State. I mean, as a freshman, he had 7.5 sacks. He was really, really good. Followed it up with 2.5 sacks his sophomore year. And then he transfers to Missouri and barely touches the field. Now, Missouri has had this weird run of really good defensive linemen. There's been some really good pass rushers that have come through Missouri. So, was Nate Johnson's lack of playing time due to being behind guys, or was it because he wasn't ready for that transition from is App State the Sun Belt? Correct me if I'm wrong, Chad. Is the App State the Sun Belt to the SEC? Is it that jump, or was it just who's in front of him? With this position group being up for grabs, like I'm describing it, maybe he's got a new outlook on life, a new lease on life, and he can make some noise. You got to have him. You got to have Nate be somebody this year. Good size again, 6'5", 252. You don't lack in the get off the bus department. You don't lack in the looking good walking into the stadium department, looking good in pads. You got all the physicality. You got all of the measurables that you need. You just got to actually see it. So those three are going to be the main ones that are going to be part of the battle. And then you're going to have some young guys pop. You're going to have some young guys pop, and we're going to talk about that in just a second. But before we do that, let's give a quick shout out to Precision Tune Auto Care in Opelika, where car care meets hospitality. The auto hospitality program they are instituting is phenomenal. They take care of you. They're very trustworthy. You're not going to go in thinking, oh, I gotta pay $20 over here, $100 over here. They're going to nickel and dime you like when you go to all those other places. You go in there, they're going to give you a full 360 inspection for free every time you go in there. And they're going to be honest with you. Hey, you need to watch this. Probably a couple of oil changes down the road. We need to address this, but I want to put it on your radar. Things like that. Give them some love. Show them some love. It's Precision Tune Auto Care in Opelika and also location in Alabaster. And also give a shout out to Roback.com. Use coupon code BARN20. Got my Roback on this morning. Feeling good. Auburn licensed apparel. I got a new Auburn polo on the way. Just dropped a couple of days ago. Need to check those out. Save big. BARN20 takes 20% off your order. If you don't want Auburn apparel, they got everything else too. Show them some love. It's Roback.com. We'll be back right after this. Need some young guys to pop, man. Need some of these young guys to explode onto the scene. And you got some pretty solid options. And to me, when you're looking at the young guys and who could pop, who could be that guy to step in and make something happen, and that's J.J. Faulk. I already saw TK mention him in the chat. J.J. Faulk has the potential to explode this year. I don't think this is an exaggeration, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong. Other than Jacquez Wilkes, J.J. Faulk may have the most athleticism of that group. Is that fair? He doesn't have the measurables. He does not have the length. Okay, he's not 6'6". He's 6'3", 244, but he played at a very small school and played all kind of positions. Played tight end, played running back, played wide receiver, played stand-up linebacker, actually came into Auburn as a stand-up linebacker, and they moved him down to edge. I think he has the athleticism to take that next step. I think he has the athleticism, the physical gifts to be able to be a big-time player. To me, he's Kieron Crawford. He's got that Kieron Crawford aspect that I see in him. So if he could take that step in his sophomore year, did not play a lot last year, but hey, everything's up for grabs. Spring, everything's up for grabs, particularly in this room. What do y'all think about J.J. Faulk? What do you think about him and his outlook this year? Joe Phillips is another interesting one, man. I remember being super excited for his commitment. You stole him from Kirby. Would he be a linebacker? Would he be an edge? What is his position? He's kind of a tweener, but Auburn's had success with guys like that. He's a shorter pass rusher, 6'2", 261, and sometimes I feel like 261 is too big for him. Sometimes I feel like he can't move quite as well at that size. So this is pretty much it for him. Like if he's going to play at Auburn, he's got to do it this year. He's got to get it done. You're in year three. You're a redshirt sophomore. You're in year three. I know he's got to feel like his back is against the wall, because if you don't get it done this year, you're looking to transfer more than likely if you're going to play at Auburn at all or play college football at all. So local guy, you always want to see those guys succeed. You know it's in there. You know he's got it in the tank. Is this the year we see it? Is this the time that we see it? And then the last one, I mean, Jacquez Wilkes is just an absolute freak, man. Jacquez Wilkes is an absolute physical freak. The most athletic guy in arguably the team, but definitely that edge room. Coming in at 6'4", 245, was like the 1A leading rusher. Can you imagine being a 1A football player and Jacquez Wilkes is lining up at running back and you got to go tackle him? Coach, I'm patting my helmet. Take me out. Take me out. We got to put somebody else in. I can't tackle this guy. He's a freak, man, and I would love to see us create a niche for him this year. it could be a big adjustment. It could be too big of an adjustment, but I would love to see us create some sort of role similar to maybe like a DeMarcus Riddick, where it's not a full array of responsibilities. It's not like a full bank of plays and packages. It's one specific thing in one specific situation, and you unleash. Let him use his God-given gifts to go get that quarterback. I don't know what that looks like. We'll get to see some of it in spring, but you need one. I think you still need one of these three guys. When you're going to recruit these high-level 4- and 5-star guys, man, you need them to pop. You need them to live up to that billing. Jared Smith, highly rated guy. He's taking the step towards living up to that ranking. Need J.J. Faulk to take a step up. Need Joe Phillips. Need Jonquez Wilkes. All those guys, top-rated guys. You need one of these young guys that we just mentioned to explode and be a factor. This whole group, man, I made an argument for pretty much everybody. Everything's up for grabs. I don't know who's going to emerge as that premier pass rushing guy. I don't even know if you necessarily have it. You may have to platoon it. It may have to be by committee. You got some tools. All you got to do is put them together and find out who fits and who can get it done. So we'll see what happens, but that's going to be an intriguing position group to watch develop in spring. All right, let's talk basketball. So, Cheese, see you later. I know you're about to tune out. You don't care. You like a lot of Auburn fans, have unplugged on the basketball season, but you still got a game. You still got a chance to make some noise. And Auburn goes in as a 7.5-point favorite today. I would have thought somewhere under 4 points wouldn't shock me. But 7.5 is where it is. And I think it was about that much in Starkville. And we know what happened. Now, I can tell you one thing that I feel pretty confident is that Josh Hubbard's not going to hit double-digit threes. And if he does, you're going to see a similar outcome. But I would imagine that's going to be that's going to be priority number one. Keep Josh Hubbard from hitting double-digit threes. We'll talk baseball in just a second, Duran. You do that, and I think you got a shot. What type of – could you see some different rotations? Could you see some different guys get some action? Do they even care? That'll answer a lot of questions on this – that'll answer a lot of questions – you know, about the motivation. Have they completely unplugged, completely checked out? And hopefully it's not the end to the season. Very well could be. Hopefully they have a few more games left in them. Hopefully they got a little run in them. Hopefully they got a little pride left where they can got a little pride left to try to make some noise in the SEC tournament. So that's at 2 o'clock. We will have, I think it's 2 o'clock, we will have a Barncast live. So make sure you're there for that. We'll have a lot of fun. Yeah, 2 o'clock as Auburn takes on the Bulldogs. Baseball had a big win last night, another run rule. I'm not super plugged into college. When did the run rule start? Because that used to not be a thing. If there wasn't a run rule, I think this team could have scored 20-plus runs in two games. The two of the games where they had run rules. They were absolutely smacking the ball, had back-to-back homers last night from Eric and Bub. I love Bub. Is Bub not everybody's favorite player? Who's your favorite player on this Auburn baseball team? It's got to be Bub. Dude's just electric. And I don't know what it is about him, but every time he gets up there, I feel like something cool is going to happen. But the bats, man, have come alive. I know there was a lot of people that were skeptical after, I think it was Cincinnati, you got maybe blanked. And then there was a couple of games against Youngstown State to open where you scored just a couple of runs. But, boy, they have been beating pitchers to death. And the pitching staff is incredible as well. You take down Winthrop, I think it was 24-1 combined score. And then obviously last night against UAB, a pretty good squad. And you only give up two runs. Got out of some tough jams. It was good, man. This team's good. This team is really good, and they're fun to watch. I would encourage everybody to try to go see a game in that stadium and just go support this team as a whole. So Butch has definitely got this thing rolling in the right direction. So, guys, I really appreciate you. Thanks for listening, and hopefully we get a dub today. Let's go. Let's lock in. No matter how tough it's been, let's lock in and get this win today, and we'll play Tennessee tomorrow. Take it easy. Have a great Wednesday. We'll talk again soon. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.